I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast was recorded before the COVID-19 emergency and before social distancing measures were in place. Please stay home and stay safe.
So if you want sushi, right?
I know, right.
I have,
you
the
have
rice.
No rice.
I have the rice.
No
rice.
Do you do the what's
but
the,
then he
do you eat
gloats.
It off the body? Do you do that as well?
That's the what? Eat off the body.
That's the traditional way, isn't it?
We're not the Illuminati.
you hear
we
these
are.
Things.
Actually, we are.
Yeah.
I like that we just became
welcome
a Hindu somewhere.
Postcards from the Edge.
Hey guys, Ida Williams here, and welcome to Postcards from the Edge, a podcast where every week I'll be having some amazing guests on, usually joined by my mom, Gwen, and my small-time first husband, Robbie Williams. He's a bit of a limelight stealer, so I will try and keep him to a minimum for you and for me. Every episode, we'll be chatting about our Anglo-American differences, which are huge now that I am an LA girl living in the United Kingdom, with a good bit of gossip thrown in as well. So let's get on to this week's guest. Joining me on this week's episode with Robbie is Scott Mills and Chris Stark of radio superstar fame and our podcast prisoners for this next hour. We will discuss food, but not really. We'll discuss everything in between while Scott, Robbie, and I stare at Chris and wait for him to get fat. Finally. Please join us for some laughs and some Anglo-American differences on this week's episode. Let's get to it. One quick note. This episode is a bit rude and crude, with a few naughty words thrown in, so definitely not family-friendly listening. Sorry, kids.
Ooh. Postcards from the Edge.
There. This is amazing. I've always experienced this and never understood why I feel like it. So if I'm on a height, do you not have this, Scott?
No.
I feel like I almost need to get it over and done with.
Yes.
What you feel is like I just need to throw myself off.
It's gonna happen.
Oh no, that's how I feel.
But it's not gonna happen unless I do that.
But also on a plane with the you think you're gonna open the door. Have you all had that?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it? What is that thing? Is that just because we're self-destructive? Like what is
it's a feeling that you have.
But what is it?
That comes and this is what I can't explain because what's interesting here is we feel like that, but Scott doesn't feel like that.
So
there'll be people listening to this that don't understand the madness that we're talking about, but the beauty of it is there'll be people listening to this who really do.
I literally will sometimes be on the balcony and I'm so terrified that I'm going to just stick my legs over and just go, and then I start picturing the funeral and what that would be like.
Wow.
And like I'm just a second away from that. I could just do it, but at the same time being so scared because that is absolutely not what I want to do.
Yeah,
that I have to step back from the balcony.
Also,
and
how
go
would
inside.
We know that this hasn't happened actually?
Oh,
happened.
Okay, guys, sorry to interrupt you. Rob, hashtag not sorry. It is called the into the void feeling.
Wow.
Okay. So this says the call of the void is that feeling when you stand in a high place and think about jumping, but don't actually want to and don't actually do it, which is the most important bit.
Yeah.
It's a feeling more people have than they'd like to admit. The French have a phrase for it. Because I speak French, I'll say it correctly.
Please do.
L'appel du vide, the call of the void. Which kind of makes me feel better that it's like a thing.
So
but it is embarrassing to admit, isn't it? It's like,
yeah,
it
totally
makes you seem like you're... Well, that's how the into the void thing is, like when you have kids, like it actually makes you feel like the worst human in the world because, I mean, there were times when I would be walking near a staircase and I could go,
well, I could just throw it. And it was like, you literally, it's like the most evil, horrible thought. And it's, and you're so protective of your child. You can't understand. You feel like a crazy person.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with my mom about it when that fireplace, you know, the memory you stole happened. And Gwen said that she had it when she was a young mother. And I don't know, what is it that makes us project our biggest... But Scott doesn't have any of this.
It's twofold, really, because there's going to be a lot of people listening to this that will take solace in the fact that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the people will call social services.
Yeah, that's the bit I'm worried about.
I reckon it's when you've got a strong inner voice. Now, I...
Which you haven't.
So right, Scott, has no, Scott has no inner voice.
No, because his inner voice is what you hear. He's just constant. He's a talker, right?
This might be a criticism, Scott.
No,
this
it's
might
fine.
Be. It's got mad deep from the office.
It's gone really deep. But
we were on porridge 5 seconds ago in the Three Little Bears.
Let our guests talk.
Okay, go. Shh.
I'm saying I have this little voice inside, right, which constantly questions things. So let's say I'm on a hike. It's this little voice inside, and it sounds like me, I think. But I don't know if everyone has an inner voice which sounds... Do you think your inner voice sounds exactly like you? Do you have an inner
voice?
Voice
in your head?
Do you never talk to yourself just inside
constantly.
Your head?
Oh, no, I
so
do.
So watch it. Well, I do.
Are we still talking about the voice that says jump off? Or are you talking about the voice that says, I could jump that distance?
Oh,
do you have
well.
No, I don't have... I have... No, mine usually tells me I can't do something, except for when I'm on a balcony, which says, you could just do it.
Yeah.
Wow. You could just stick one leg.
So
it's
you've got
one
an
second
evil,
over.
Your inner voice, by the sounds of it, is like... The little devil on your shoulder is the one saying
but
do
I'm
these
like
bad things.
But I'm so neurotic and scared of everything. I don't understand how I have a voice that brave and bold. Like, that is the opposite of how I am. Like, I literally wouldn't want to jump off of a large step.
Hmm.
Like, so why is it when I get on a balcony, I look down, I think, I could just do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean by the inner voice is saying the things that you would never say. It's the other part of your brain. It's the whole lady in the streets
but
with a freak
like
in
that?
The bed argument.
Are
you know?
Scared
it's
of
like,
things?
It's the inner...
Are you scared of things? Or
can I ask Chris this? Because
no.
I think Chris...
No, but I want to talk to Chris more about this.
I'm getting in.
Wait, Chris, do you find yourself more... Because like I can say Rob is fearless, and I would say I'm on the other side of the spectrum where I'm fearful.
That's me.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I wonder if it's the person who's scared who has these thoughts where it's like you, for example, are scared of nothing.
I have
usually
those thoughts,
you, but you follow through on every crazy thing you want to do. Like you do jump off the building. Like you do all the drugs. Like you do all the things that would I won't even take two Benadryl, babe, because I'm scared about the side effects. You know what I mean? So I'm wondering if it's like when you're so scared of things, it's like the counterbalance. It's like the answer back to that fear. Like, because I think for me with the kid, you know, I was so afraid of anything happening to our children that was the thought that was coming up. Does that make any sense
to
you?
No, it doesn't. But I think that's where we're similar. Yeah. We're fearful people. Don't want to say pessimistic.
No,
because, you know,
just
I believe in opportunity.
One thing we're missing.
You are nervous.
One thing we're missing, though, is why Scott hasn't got that.
Why don't I have it?
Yeah, why don't you have that? Are you artificial intelligence? Sandra, is he artificial intelligence?
I just don't think... Yeah, I don't think about it.
But
like
you
never.
Like Robbie, your mum's here. Do you take all the drugs and do...
No.
And do all the jumping?
No, not all the jumping, all the drugs.
Not in front of Sandra, boys. Let's be well-behaved in front of Sandra.
But are you fearful?
I see, I've done mad things where I do get nervous, but will I go through with it? 100% yeah.
See, no, I won't.
No. So, like, I did this... mad documentary about 10 years ago in Uganda where we did get chased and almost kind of killed because it was called The World's Worst Place to Be Gay. It was on BBC.
Oh, that sounds like a good place to
right?
go.
So I thought, let's do it. I didn't really tell mum or dad much about it.
The gay bit. Yeah,
cool. No, they knew that. And we basically got chased out of the country. They were gonna arrest us, and who knows what's gonna happen in Uganda because it's not great to be gay there.
I was about to say, I'm not sure arresting is even the worst of what was
no.
you were facing.
But at the time, I was like, this is fine. And then I watched it back when I got home and I was like, actually, that was really dangerous. Why'd you do that?
Yeah. But you didn't like go, like, because I don't think I would have stepped off the plane.
There was never any point where I was like, I'm not going to go through this. Yeah. Loads of my friends were like, come home. I'm like, no, I've got a documentary to make.
I got threatened to be beheaded in Haiti.
Right.
And it's like,
there's always one that's the top of the story.
By the way, I was with you. I was with you. I too was being threatened to be beheaded as well.
Why?
But just because we were going out there, hey, listen, we were going out there to help. And this is what
wanna,
you get.
You just want to talk about how we were doing good.
No, no, no. But the thing is, though, like you're saying, you got back home, you watched the program and realised how scary it was.
Yeah.
When we were threatened to be beheaded, I was like, should we go to the next street then?
I just want you to know, if that had happened, I would have blamed you.
Right.
It's mad what you guys get up to. I'm not a fan of holidays particularly for this reason.
Because he's fearful.
Listen, Chris and I are apparently now meant to be doing everything together.
He wouldn't go anywhere.
He wouldn't do that much.
That's what I'm saying. We'd just be holding hands in a dark corner.
It would just be very boring existence waiting for something to happen. But no, I've never been that fussed about holidays. I don't want to get beheaded.
Because he's scared.
How did they try and stop you being gay again? That was a great one.
They hit me with chickens.
If you went to Orlando, there's very little chance of being beheaded.
True.
Right.
Or Spain.
Is there a country that you guys haven't been to?
Like so many.
But one that you'd want to?
Yeah, I have a ton of
Peru.
I'd like to go to Peru. I'd like to do Machu Picchu.
Sure. I'd like to do ayahuasca.
But see, there's a difference. I don't want to do the ayahuasca, and I'd still be scared of the flight.
Yeah.
Surely you're big in Peru.
I am so big that it's not safe for me to go there.
Right. No. Good answer.
Is that it?
I think he's just saying that there's no one that's going to actually test that to be true.
I think there's probably no market for a gig there, probably.
A Machu Picchu gig?
I got to Paraguay.
I think you must have rinsed South America.
Yeah.
Is there a place that you guys haven't been to that you would like to go?
I went to New Zealand. That was boring.
That sounds like the perfect place for us, Chris.
Yeah, actually, you'd love it. It looks like Wales.
I've always wanted
the weather's
to
average.
I've never been to Australia. Yeah.
So I love Australia. How old are you?
So 31.
Okay, and you don't see really get the concept of holidays at all. Then I suppose.
No, I do.
Oh, you don't get the concept?
No. I've been to.
He likes the idea of it.
So me and my mates.
But then he'll go to the same place again and again.
Oh. Yeah, Cavos, Malia. Zante.
And now Javier.
I went to Javier for the last two years.
Wow.
The first time was fine, actually. It's been three times.
This place turned out to be a danger zone.
Right.
Ravaged by fire. Ravaged by fire. Second time, floods.
It's been a stressful...
That's how the Bible ends.
But I don't know if it's all ending in Javier. But I think what it is, I like what I like. And actually,
Rob's like that. Scott, in terms of food, which we'll get back to.
Let Chris talk.
Scott has expanded my horizons to a certain extent. And actually, I'm here today with you guys. And I feel that that's the nice thing about this podcast is as much as we can discuss the differences between, British ways and American ways.
Which we haven't gone anywhere near.
We haven't even scratched any surface of.
I feel like I'm going to learn a lot from this. Mm.
I don't think you will, but no, that's the thing. Because if I find a place that I like,
that's it. He's done.
Why go anywhere else?
Oh, this is it.
I'm not like that. Okay. Just so you know, I'd like to try new places.
But this is what did me about your gaff when you came on our radio show and you were talking about how you had this football pitch and my dream is just to own a house where I have one room. It's my place. I can put my football shirts up on the wall, have a pool table, that kind of thing. Have your own football pitch.
Your man cave. Rob's football pitch was like his man cave.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
I mean, God, yeah.
It's good.
But have you had that taken away from you a bit? Like, why is... is that marriage? No.
I experienced all that and it was a load of fun. And then my wife came into my life and genuinely, if I can be serious...
I'm waiting for the answer.
No, there isn't.
Okay.
I fell deeply in love with my missus and wanted to share my world with her and her share her world with me.
It's a good answer.
And the time just came that it was time to get rid of the follies of youth. Like, literally, I'm like the boy who won the pools. So the boy who won the pools went out and did all of these mad things. And then I met my wife and I was like, right, okay, let's have a family. Mm. And then I put all of those aside and we now have something different.
Yeah.
But do you think the kids will want the man shed at some point, though?
Yeah, then they can buy their own.
Yeah, they can get their own.
Yeah.
Buy that football pitch back.
You still have a pool table.
What you guys have the opportunity to do is do everything that, you know, if I had your success and was in a couple like you were, I would do that. I'd have a mirror on the ceiling as well. I'd have
yeah, they didn't say that.
Like,
they didn't say that.
I'd well, go for everything.
Here's what's happening to you, Chris. Your career is on an upward trajectory.
I hope right? so.
It is. It's going places. I feel it for you. I'm a bit psychic. You're doing really well.
It's the gypsy
in him. It's
going to
get even better and better and better. But by the time that you're on the trajectory where you can afford the man cave, you're going to go. You're going to have an other.
Mm. Yeah.
So your cave you will still have, but it will be smaller than if the trajectory of your career happened when you were 22, 23, 24.
Yeah, got you. You got to hit, you got to go young, haven't you, with the career.
We just got to get lucky.
And he did.
Yeah. And yeah. I got lucky.
However, this is why you are very relatable, but you just did really bloody well.
Thank you very much.
You did do very well.
Hey, listen, why don't we steer this podcast okay. to what yeah. we were so, actually going to
do? Okay, fine. Well, I think it was Scott said that Chris likes to go to one place. When he finds one place, then he just sticks with that. That is very much you, but with food. And so this kind of goes on to think, because I'm an explorer with food, and you could have the same thing every day and do for every meal. So right now, Rob is on a tuna squid trajectory with a shake in the morning. So I can tell you that every day when he wakes up, he will have a shake and two double espressos.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, he will have a tuna fish salad or a crab salad with some tomato and lettuce, and or in a gluten-free sandwich situation. You will then have some satsumas, which we call tangerines. Mm-hmm. And then you will segue to some squid again with maybe some balsamic, because you love a balsamic. It used to be salad cream.
Okay.
And now it's salad. But Rob will do that for 6 months straight.
That's why he looks like he does right now.
But it will shift, because it used to be oatmeal or your people's porridge. Mm. And it would be porridge in the morning. There was the gluten-free pancake stage. Then there'll be... There was, what else did you like? There was the meatless sausages.
Mm-hmm. But when you were at your fattest, what were you eating?
That I like so how you put that, Chris.
What was the, because this sounds like a very different diet to.
You know, when you fat boy, when yeah. you were fat.
Well, what there is.
Here's the thing, right? Me and him have this conversation all the time, because we put on weight literally.
Do you like, put on
so
weight?
Easy. So easy.
I feel like I've always seen you skinny.
No, every time. No, ever that's not true. Spot? Yeah, you did. When I went to
I think we have to do more than the average person.
100%.
Maintain
and the first
average.
Thing, yes, and the first thing that we ever say every time, whenever we're doing any work together, or I see him socially or whatever, is like, so what are you doing? So what are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing?
What you eating?
Yeah, what
are
you eating? It's the first thing really? We ever say, yeah.
Well, what are you eating? Because you're skinny right now.
At the moment, nuts.
Nothing. Nuts, nothing.
Here's the thing. Are you not... Like, I'm hearing that's salad and squid and tuna. That's there are no carbs right now. Yeah,
and
that's
to
amazing.
Answer your question, two bags of kettle chips.
Yeah.
A vanilla latte. This huge.
Oh, you're talking about fat Rob.
Yeah.
When he was bulking.
When I was bulking. Was bulking.
But so is this per day?
But I was eating the same yeah. thing. I was eating... You were having honey Dijon.
So we got together... Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we fell in love and we went for gold. And she remained looking like she does.
You're welcome.
And I became
fat.
Fat person.
That's what would happen to me.
That wore a caftan. Yeah. Cashmere
caftan. In fact,
caftan.
You proposed to me in a caftan. Oh, and a wow.
I wore a cashmere caftan for 2 years.
Yeah.
So what is that?
Do you know like Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And often underwear was not included in the equation, was it? It was. There was no underwear usually either. You were just flopping around in that
No. Because underwear would be elasticated and I would be made aware at every living moment about how fat I'd become.
I find that when you first start seeing someone, you'll do whole days where you can just stay in bed.
That's
and,
what
and
we
just
did.
Eat food in bed.
Yeah.
You go to the supermarket and pick up a load of different
well,
things.
Well, we had security just... do that, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, they bring it to
they're
you.
Similar.
They bring it, yeah.
Well, that's
yeah.
even better. So they bring yeah. it to you two. You just lay in bed. You haven't even yeah. got to do the yeah. shop.
Yeah. Just picture like Henry VIII, but with less like gonorrhea.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. Okay.
I used to do whole days where you would just sit there and just eat. And, you know, occasionally show expressions of love and all that. And you that was the beauty of when you first start
yeah,
seeing
the
someone.
Early days.
Put it this way, if it hadn't have stopped, they would have had to have created a new doorway for me to get out.
You've been
of
one of those Channel 5 shows.
Yeah. Where you have to, like, go in a vehicle where there's, like, people helping you escape.
Remove a wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
English American question. Just okay. to throw it out yeah. there.
Okay.
Now you're in your 30s now, and you realize that you can't eat what you used yeah. to eat.
Well, when I don't you think were... he's realized that yet, because he's a guy and he's only 31. Like, have you experienced that yet?
No, I'm starting to occasionally drink gin and tonic instead of beer.
Oh, he's not. He's so off it. Regular tonic.
I don't
know. Okay, he's not experiencing. But
it has become.
He doesn't.
I've realised that.
No, it's but cute, though.
The funny thing is, with me and Scott, people keep saying we're looking more and more similar, and that is a mixture of Scott looking younger and younger, and me getting older. And at some point,
it's because I've got a bit thinner.
At some point, there's going to be a complete change.
Well, there won't.
And I will always look.
Well, the shame will get you.
You don't.
The shame will
you
get
don't.
You,
you yeah. don't eat the same breakfast that you did when you were 12.
What's your breakfast?
Right?
What's your breakfast like?
But I don't generally eat.
Well, you
breakfast,
didn't have breakfast today. Okay, what's your lunch?
But I wouldn't be scared of eating anything. Do you know
wow.
what I mean? I love lasagna.
Wow.
Right? No,
wow.
but it's cute.
Okay, no yeah. need to brag, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
There's nothing you'd be scared of eating for breakfast?
Well, here's the question. If you're on your tuna squid thing, what is it you guys miss eating? Or do you not miss that?
So, and you must eat completely different things.
Well, I still eat food.
Right.
And Rob doesn't. But I do miss, like, I used to eat everything with reckless abandon, and now there's no reckless or abandon. I eat it, and then I immediately feel the shame. Like, so we went on holiday. You were very disciplined, and I was eating waffles and fondue and raclette
Lush.
And wine, and it was amazing. But then, like, after a good 48 hours, like, the first 24 hours, you're like, fuck it, yeah, it's worth it. I'm totally into this. And then after about 48, 72 hours, you're like, I hate myself. I'm yeah. fat.
Well, here's the thing, you know, like
Christmas.
Christmas.
You know that
Christmas.
It's in the post that you can't drink the way that you used to.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can't get away
For
with
sure,
it.
For sure, yeah.
It's the same
yeah.
with food, too.
Yeah.
It's like, I've noticed, like, I've been incredibly good, and then for one meal, I'll have a cheat on a Saturday or a Sunday. Mm. And I had half a burger and some fries. I didn't like it.
Mm.
I didn't like it because I actually felt how greasy it was, what mm-hmm. it was doing to my body. And even with it all, the road narrows as you get older and as you
do
get
know
older.
What?
Even with food, food becomes like booze. It's like, oh,
do you know what happened?
I can't be
do
honest with the hangover
in,
as
no,
well.
Do you like, know what happened in LA? I was talking to someone at a spinning class. This is how bad LA is. And I was like talking about how the road narrows as you get older. And I was like, yeah, and I mean, even like, fruit's not like a free-for-all anymore, like fruit. And he looked at me, and without any irony, he went, you still eat fruit?
Yeah.
And
that's
I was
LA
like,
for you.
Wow, is that mad?
Because yeah, fruit's
you,
got sugar.
You said potatoes were off not that long
Are
ago.
Are potatoes not off
madness.
For you?
Like, it's a vegetable.
Chris.
Wow.
It's a vegetable.
Whoa, whoa,
like,
buddy.
You know
whoa.
Are you from 1984?
Yes, he is. Isn't that great?
Yeah. It's crazy. Like,
so you look at a potato
that.
And
you don't know about potatoes.
No, I know that obviously people say carbs are evil and that, but that's the like pizzas or pastas, right?
Chris,
what
I'm
getting
got,
at is as
you've
long
got
as you
a world
eat
of
vegetables,
pain coming to it.
Not really.
Yeah. I mean,
not
Uber Eats,
it's hurtling towards you.
It's literally going to deliver you restriction one day.
You're
going to be sad.
I worry about LA because
no, LA's different to the rest of America.
Yeah,
though.
LA's not normal.
No.
No, no,
you. But I didn't have sushi until I met you. And then...
This is great. We could do a podcast just on this.
Yeah, this is great.
But sushi's great.
It
is.
Right?
It
tastes actually tastes really nice, right? And I find that sushi's becoming more normal.
But do you feel the shame when you eat the rice? Because I'll eat the rice, but I feel the shame.
Not.
He's not even there yet, is he?
Sushi's healthy.
So he's not. That's not sashimi. It's like he goes full.
Right. So he if not
like tempura.
To be fair to him, not now, but like 3 years ago, if I said to him, "Here's a salad and here's a lasagna," he'd be like, "I don't know the difference."
Yeah, I mean,
that much.
What I would say is sushi is a healthy food, right?
Not if you're eating the rice.
Well, guys, I worry you're going too far into
no,
the
No, I
LA.
Eat the
Chris,
rice, but
Chris,
I feel the shame.
You're not going far enough.
You're
I'm telling you, there's a world of pain coming down the tracks and it's heading
pain?
Towards you.
Do you have sushi? So if you want sushi, right?
I have no rice.
I have
you
the
have
rice.
No rice.
I have the rice.
No rice.
Do you do the what's
but
the,
then he
do you eat
gloats.
It off the body? Do you do that as well? That's
the,
what,
eat off
the
body.
That's the traditional way.
I don't.
Of it, isn't it?
I'm not the Illuminati.
Just, you hear these things.
Actually, we are.
I like that we just became
welcome,
a Hindu
Scott.
Somewhere.
I know.
Hold on, let me just eat this off of you, please.
But
Hindus are wild as well. Are they different in America?
Well, we don't call them Hindus. So there's another U.S. difference. We call them bachelorette parties.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And are they more tame than here, I would say?
Well, I've never had one, but I think they're...
Yet. If you haven't had one, that,
we could have
that
one.
Should happen.
Well, no, do you know what stag do I want?
Go on.
Go on.
Chalet.
Yeah.
Go on.
Somewhere where it's snowing.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
FIFA 20.
Yeah. Boom, I love that because why is it FIFA in a chalet? Like,
yeah, why specifically a chalet? FIFA, like,
but what's the chalet?
What is the chalet in the mountains?
It's like just because you can.
Because you can?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love, so you've never been interested in FIFA at all. I take
no.
it. Take
no,
it,
do you know why it is? In... It's because I don't want anything to get in the way of FIFA.
Yeah.
So if we're in a place where the weather is really extreme, we can't.
You want to lock
out.
Them in. You want
to
lock
and
them
you can,
in.
And you can occasionally go to the window and go, that's nice, and then go back to
but
FIFA.
But it's got
to
be beautiful. It can't be grey.
No, it's got to be
London, I was going to say, because London would be fine. You're guaranteed bad weather over here. And you could just put like a picture of a mountain
it's
in the background.
The isolation. He wants a nice view in isolation.
It's not just that's the weather, right. It's the isolation. I totally get it. Because when you have a stag do or hen do, it isn't just about the stag or the hen. It's a team thing, right?
Team building
so
experience.
So when I go on a stag do... No one can tell me anything. I can't be told I can't go to that. I can go and have fun. You know, it's the group rules rather than my own morals.
Oh, I see.
Rules.
So you like kind of like the sergeant, like the army vibe of a stag do.
No, it's more just that I'm not accountable to anyone because I'm part of the stag. So, for example, if you had your stag do and you were in a chalet, that's my dream. The idea that you could be in a chalet just doing...
Did that just become your dream?
Doing FIFA. That's my ultimate weekend.
Postcards from the Edge.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But going back to the Hindu thing, so,
yeah, so
if
we
you
call
go
it
on a Hindu in America, what happens?
I mean, there's stuff like, I mean, I haven't been to that many, but there's like, you know, like penis lollipops and a sash that
it's
says
the
like the same kind of thing. Except
yeah.
for I will say that when I did Fresh Meat in Manchester, we would have these kind of very early starts, and it was in Manchester, and I would come in, and then I would leave early in the morning, and it was the time when, because you guys have clubs that stay open later, people would be coming home from their stag do's and their hen do's, and I'm not going to lie, the sloppiness that I saw on those streets is a whole other beast to what I've seen in America.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I've never actually been to a country where girls are rolling around in the street vomiting with no knickers on and heels in like freezing temperatures.
Doesn't happen.
Just fags in their hair, and they were still going. I mean, they were rolling and going. And it was a sight I will never forget.
You don't even get that in like Texas, do you?
Yeah, you don't get that. I mean, even in Vegas, which is kind of, I'd say, like the armpit of stag and hen do's. Mm.
It's not as much as that.
It's not as much.
No.
What's a sorority party?
A what?
That's
a sorority. Do you guys not have sororities?
I don't really understand
no.
that.
Fraternities and sororities?
No, we can't even say it. No.
I know. You just said sorority or something.
Sorority.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Sorority.
That's an American thing.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, well, no, it's not true. I was actually in a sorority, Pi Beta Phi. And it's, I don't even know what it is. It's basically just an excuse to have parties. You're like in a group of girls, you get selected, and then you're in this kind of club and you host events, and then the boys come and you have kind of like a brotherhood of like a fraternity that you get along with. Basically, it's just everyone hooking up.
I think.
It's just like drinking and hooking up.
But
we have things like pimp and hoe parties where it's like, for whatever reason, it's like any chance to degrade yourself as a female.
So it's like freshers.
Yeah. Yes.
What is it? Freshers? Oh,
freshers, like when you first go to university, you have like big parties.
And it's called freshers?
Freshers, yeah.
Like, freshers or
freshers?
Freshers. Freshers. And, but does that only happen when you're a freshman?
Yeah. It's freshman. Same.
Yeah.
So then then the party dies out when you're a sophomore?
Kind of, yeah.
It's, you're like not...
Sophomore.
It's not,
that's another phrase. Sophomore.
Well, you guys have this weird thing with education. No, wait. With education, mm-hmm. You call year six... I think your year six is our year one.
One.
Which is very confusing. Mm-hmm. So when you graduate, what year are you? I mean, sorry, Rob, I know you didn't graduate, but what year are you?
You didn't graduate either. this is a farce. Get this right. I got a degree, right? And I paid for it.
Me too. Look at us. Oh, well. The dumb assholes over here. Fearful assholes
still
in the corner.
For it.
Just paid it off, actually. Great. Yeah, as you said, careers actually sort of starting to...
Nah, we didn't do that. In.
Scott got given an honorary degree.
No.
Yeah.
I think
really?
That's a disgrace.
I've turned so many down.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Yeah.
Because they'd be clambering
to give... They're just knocking on the door.
They would be clambering to give him an honorary degree, right?
What are you waiting
what would your
for
degree
a uni
be in?
Or not?
What would your...
Huh?
Are you waiting for the right uni or what? Or like, you just don't want a fake degree?
Not bothered.
Yeah.
So, let me just clarify. When you graduate...
But here's the thing. What do I get out of it?
The degree?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because it's great publicity for the uni.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and they get all the photos and everything. Well, you get to say
you've got a degree.
And what does that mean to me?
But that is the problem that I only realised after I'd paid a significant amount of money and was sort of, you know, trying to start out at the BBC.
For me, it means I go to a place where there are a few hundred strangers, and out of those few hundred strangers, I have to meet at least 70 or 80 of them.
Mm.
And I'm not interested in meeting 70 or 80 strangers.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. Whereas when you got offered your honorary degree, Scott, you were like, yes, amazing.
Yeah. I've got a degree.
And then it looks like you're a doctor.
Yeah.
Of,
and I'm a doctor.
Have you got letters?
I'm a doctor of arts.
You said about the letters after your name, right, for the degree. You don't need that. You're not asked. In America, what about the honours system in America?
So yes,
here,
I was in the honours system.
You can get like an MBE or have you got anything?
No, he doesn't have any of those.
You haven't?
No.
I certainly haven't.
I thought you meant like Dean's List, Cum Laude, Honours List like that. No, we don't have
They don't know what any of those.
Oh.
No, we don't know that.
We like when you go to like high school or college, you can be at the top of your class and you can be Cum Laude, which is like with honours.
No.
Or Dean's List, which is really...
No.
No, we don't have...
So there's like no incentive to succeed.
No, when you said cum laude, I don't know.
I thought it was Scottish.
Like a Chevrolet from the 60s.
Christ, Cymru, cum laude.
Yeah.
So is there no... Like, well, that was the funny...
Cum laude.
Cum laude. It's cum laude, but that's fine. That was the other thing. I remember we were talking about your school experience versus mine, which was obviously very different. So, but that you were talking about how you didn't do very well in school, and then you said, and you got... And you got a D in whatever subject that was. And I remember being horrified thinking, oh my God, I can't believe this man got a D. That's awful. And then what I realized 6 months ago when you were telling the story that you were bragging about the D because the D was the best grade that you had gotten.
Thank you.
But in America, you can fail out of a class and then get like pulled back. But you can't in the UK, right? They just keep you moving.
In America, did you know that?
No.
If you don't pass your year... You get dragged back.
Like premiership to
no.
championship.
What's he have to do it again?
Yes.
But that's
yes,
so
you're
good.
So you'll be a fifth year.
I'd still
the
be there.
Year.
That's what I mean. It can get, you know.
We'd still be there.
There's a threat. There's a threat. But at some point you learn 2 + 2 = 4, I guess, and you move on. But you know, they can hold you back. They hold you back.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
Rob was like, but why would I care? Because I was just going to keep going. And I was like, well, I kind of get that. I mean, obviously, the shame would set in with me, but I'm neurotic, so I wouldn't want to get the D. But I guess if you're not bothered about school and nothing's going to happen to you, there's no relegation, you'd kind of be like, whatever. It's interesting that, isn't it? So you don't have, like the smart kids in school weren't on an honors list in any way.
No.
You just got through the system, really, the best you could.
Quite bleak, isn't it?
Well, to a certain extent. Like, the thing is, when I was growing up, there wasn't really any encouragement to leave the school system. Those who did had to be so brave to do that.
Really?
Which is probably where you two guys did that. You didn't bother with school really past a certain point. Uni, and then you stepped out on your own and found careers. Whereas I was in a system that was just funneling out. If you got the grades, you go to sixth form. If you got those grades,
and do
you
they
went to
pay
uni.
For that? And they pay for that?
Well, yeah, it's part. It's sort of.
Like,
but,
is it
but then
free-ish?
When you go to degree, it costs money.
So how old are you? Like, okay, when you go, because you go, because in the US, you have to be like 18 to graduate.
Yeah.
You have to go until you're 18, but here you can leave at 16, right?
Yeah.
Then the next 2 years you go to uni.
No, it's sixth form.
What is it called?
Sixth
or college.
Form?
College.
That's what college is. Sixth form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's sixth form is 2 years, right?
That's where you're big boys, but you're not really.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's exactly.
So
yeah.
Sixth
yeah.
form is, what do they call it? Sixth form.
Oh, I don't know.
Who knows?
Because. When I was at school, it was year one, year two, year three, year four, year five.
Yeah.
And that's where you get kicked out and get a job if you want.
So you get kicked out at year five, and then it's sixth, which is our senior year, which would be... Well, no, it's not, because you still have two more years till you're 18, right? Mm. And when you go to Oxford and Cambridge and stuff, it's after you've done your sixth form.
So you do GCSEs.
Yeah.
Then you do A-levels.
Yeah.
Notice how quiet me and Rob are right now.
By the way, it is. I didn't even notice that both of you just sat there eating edamame and sat back. I was like, it's Chris and I going tete-a-tete here.
Do you know what I will say? That's a major difference.
This is so complex.
But it's starting to become big in the UK.
International
from America.
Baccalaureate?
Wait, say again?
IB, International Baccalaureate?
No.
Oh, no, I was going to talk about prom queens and prom queens, right? And proms.
Right.
So this never happened.
Right. This is like Halloween now. It's
right. Halloween
it's
here now is
homecoming king. So we do have prom. I mean, cheerleading at my school is not a big deal because we're such an academic school that the cheerleaders were too nerdy to be cool. Like we didn't. But you guys don't really have cool kids, do you?
We don't really have cheerleaders.
No. You don't have cheerleaders.
It's
at all,
not the
right?
same way. I mean, there's cheerleading societies and that, but in America, from what I've seen on the movies, it's all cheerleaders, American footballers.
Yeah, I mean, at my school, again, we were quite geeky, so...
They didn't have that.
We had the brainier version of that. Like, I feel like with our cheerleading squad, instead of being aggressive, it was like it was like a sign-up. Do you know what I mean?
Like Glee.
Yeah, like they didn't have enough people. I think there were like four girls in the cheerleading squad, and none of them were in
team. What I'm picking up from America is it's literally like the geeks, the jocks.
Yeah,
well, that's what
drama kids.
That's what it's like in the movies, though.
It is like that, though.
But it is like that. It is like that. Where in England, it's like I'm looking back at... Like, the social groups in my school were more integrated.
Yeah.
It was like, he could do maths, but I can head the ball.
Yeah.
That didn't exist.
No, there was definitely a divide.
But it's like Clueless Mean Girls.
No, 100%.
It's like, you can't sit with us.
100%.
Is it like that?
It is like that. 100%. Isn't it? It's great. Smash.
It's great. I'm not sure that.
I don't think
I like it.
No, it's great because it's like the movies. It's not great to live through. It's terrifying.
Did you, as I know as an English person... That I used to watch American movies that were based in high schools and think, God, I'd love to go to high school like that. Did you think that? Or not?
Yeah. Because really with the movies, it was, maybe that's it, because everyone was segregated. It was very clear who you would fancy, who you would get off
who you don't want to sit next to.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it is, I mean, I remember going to school. I mean, I ended up being a cool kid, but I didn't start a cool kid. I remember there were like these horrible times where I would have my lunch with the secretary in the secretary's office, and there'd be like three other like underlings that didn't have any friends to sit with. Where we would just hang out with this woman named Brenda.
You come back to school with massive tits, though?
Yeah, I just came back hotter one summer, and then it all went away, and it was fine.
Was that a rebrand? Was that? But that's like.
It's like when the boys start to fancy you, all of a sudden it changes, and then it's like, and then you're like, oh, they like me, even if it's based on something really superficial, I'll take it.
Superficial is all you have at that point.
I mean, it's still pretty much all I've got, but I'm okay.
Hey, listen, got me.
Hey, that's right.
But that's the thing. You were doing well then.
But it was tough though, because there was a cool like. You know, trying to find, maybe is it the same in England, but just trying to find a group, you know, especially when the divide is so clearly cut. Mm. You know, if you're not a drama kid and you're not a jock and you're not, it's like, where do you fit in? You know, but cool did matter. Like, you know, you had to look right, dress right, you know, those things.
So you were cool.
Eventually, but there was a transformative period like a butterfly.
Yeah. Mm. I was just below average, slightly below average.
But did you know that?
Like mates and that, but it was...
Did you know you were...
Did you have aspirations?
Did
you want to be the cool kid? I knew I was never.
But was there a cool kid?
I was okay at football, so that sort of covered up the fact that I was useless
Huge
with girls.
Inadequacy with girls.
The thing is, Radio 1 is amazing at making people who aren't cool.
Yeah. Which is cool.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair to say.
Yeah.
Show business does that full stop.
Right. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Because Radio 1's cool. It's the best radio station in the world, I think.
If only they played Robbie Williams.
What?
But the geeks will inherit the earth.
Right. Yeah.
It's true. You know, so.
So where were you at school? Where were you then? What kind of level were you at or when you were younger? Because you were cool from a young age then, I guess, weren't you?
Well, from primary school, I think I fluked my way into the top stream academically, but they quickly found out that that's not where I should be.
Yeah.
And then they moved me to the medium stream, and then I fluked medium for the rest of my school life. But I should have been in the remedial class.
Right.
That's where I should have been. I think it was because my outside smarts... quite eloquent, a bit verbose, you know.
What's verbose?
Verbose.
Oh, verbose.
Yeah. Good at talking, looking teachers in the eye, picking up on social
cues.
I think that fooled them.
Yeah.
Where really, I can't add, I can't subtract.
Can't spell.
I can't spell. It's academically... it was not for me. No. I wasn't meant to do it. I was never, ever going to excel in that world. I don't. My computer doesn't compute that way.
But so many people listening to this will be feeling exactly like that. And you hear the cliches.
I still can't do math.
But you do hear the cliches.
No point, though. We got calculators now, right?
You hear the
cliches.
You can go and do anything you want to do. And I don't know if it's any different in America. But realistically, that is true. You just believe that it's just a cliche, though, you know?
Yeah, but it is true.
I have to say, though, you are, Robert Peter Williams, one of the smartest people I do know, and you pick up on everything.
You're
incredibly perceptive. You are emotionally intelligent. And you, your brain works in a very fast way.
Thank you very much.
But always has.
Academically, we are set up to think and behave in one way. And if you don't fit that system, you are stupid and thick and slow and remedial.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what went into my computer as well. So I've sort of like, you know, if I get a spelling thing wrong or I can't add up, and it's like really simple stuff that I can't get. And I do, because like we banter back and forwards all the time about really touchy subjects. We go further than most couples that I know. But if she says anything where I'm being thick and she brings it up with me, it hurts for some reason.
I learned early doors because I would say like, oh, don't be stupid. And he would get really upset. And I didn't actually think, because I think of him as so intelligent. I didn't actually think he would be sensitive about it because he's clearly not. And I realized early doors that it really, you know, I would never say you're so stupid, but whatever it was, I realized when you explained to me and I was like, wow, it never would have occurred to me that you would have thought that about yourself. Now I would never call you that. But,
We've gone down a sad cold.
I know. Why did that get sad? I ate the sashimi and it got sad.
Yeah.
What was your high school experience like?
I just wanted to get out of it as soon as I could, really. I was okay in primary school. By secondary school, I was like, I know what I want to do.
You already knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I did.
You wanted to be on radio?
Yeah, from really early. But I wasn't really getting much help school-wise because I'd said to the, you normally do like work experience. And I was like, I want to be on the radio. And they were like, yeah, but people don't get that kind of job. And I was like,
really?
Okay.
They were super negative about it?
Yeah.
I was told to join the army.
Were you? Yeah, but they were like, but what about you? But yeah, okay, fine. It was a bit like I just said to them, I want to be a spaceman. And you know what I mean?
Want to be a unicorn.
Yeah, and they're like, yeah, but what do you really want to do? They basically said, well, okay, that can be your hobby, but what about actual job? And
no
I was like,
way.
No, I want that to be my actual job.
And was your mom supportive of it?
My whole family was supportive.
It's amazing that your family was supportive, but your own, like, school guidance people were telling you no.
Yeah.
It was problematic.
Well, yeah. But it worked out because by the time
that's the way that Great Britain works.
One thing I would say with America that I've noticed, the radio is a bit crap.
Yeah, it is crap.
Crap.
Why is that?
I think it's because... You don't think so?
Not all radio.
Really?
No. Because like...
It's a bit bland, isn't it?
Well, it's bland because it's actually the talking is getting in the way of selling things.
Mm.
And it's just about commercials.
Yeah.
But talk radio in America is wicked.
Like what?
Yeah, but I'm going back to what Chris said. It's like the Star, the Kiss, those stations are rubbish in comparison because you don't have that same... I don't think you have the same freedom or license to have... You can't... The subjects are off limits. It's all very vanilla. There's not really any banter per se. It's always like, so when I woke up this morning, my coffee was cold. You know, and it's like, let's hear from, you know, Lisa with a relationship problem right now. And it's like the same formula. It's very safe.
Yeah, but it's the home of the shock jock too. You've got Howard Stern and Mankow and all of these type of people.
Yeah, but
that were making incredible content.
Mm. Yeah, but but that's not readily available. Like when you turn on your car radio, that's not what you get. Unless you have a special Sirius radio.
Well, there's lots of people out there that's like conservative radio that you can listen to, or there's sort of like sexist guys that you can listen to. There is different kind of people on different stations. You're just talking about the press and go.
Mm-hmm. However, Australian radio. That's the.
Wow. I can be so bored.
So rude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
On Australian radio.
Yeah, but I don't care.
I can say and do whatever I want,
and
love
Jackie
it.
O and that, you know. Yeah. They're wicked. I love them.
My favorite bad radio show. It's not bad, but it's in LA.
Oh. Which one?
And I love it. Every time I go there, I have to listen to it. It's not bad. It's just really... It's quite famous, I think.
Do I know it?
Maybe.
What if I don't know
Late Night.
Late Night.
Hi.
Oh, yes!
I'm Karen Sharp.
Yes, I do know it.
It's Karen Sharp on Coast 103.5.
Coast 103.5. By the way, they're obsessed. The only ones that play Christmas music, early doors.
All the way through
all
December.
All the way through.
So Karen Sharp does...
Oh, my God, I love the...
Late
Coast
Night,
103.
Yeah, Late Night. Late Night Love.
Late Night Love.
And it's like... Ida, Robbie wants to send you so much love tonight. And it's the most LA thing in the whole world. And sometimes Ida will come be on the phone and be like, hey, baby, I just wanted
to Robbie.
Say. Yeah. And it's addictive because we just don't have anything like that. And she does this kind of like faux sexy voice. And she's been doing it literally 50 years.
I bet you, by the way, would you love to see what she actually looks like?
Yes, and I don't, I don't want to, because the voice is enough.
It's like a sex video, you can't unsee it.
But you can get in the car, turn on the radio, get instantly bored, then flick, and then flick again, and flick again, and flick again, and then find somewhere, they get bored again, and then flick, and flick, and before you know it, you have no clue where you are or where you've gone.
Also, there's no music
being
played.
Or how to get back to
the... They don't play music on American radio stations. Like, you get one song. It's like Alms for the Poor. You get, like, one song, and then there's, like, 30 minutes of chat and then, like, an ad for liposuction.
Yeah.
And then like, some call-in thing and then, like, two more songs.
Not with Karen.
Not with Karen.
Karen's got all the love songs.
Karen 103.5.
What are you jealous of America about?
I'm jealous of some of the lifestyle.
Large portions?
No, not so much.
Not anymore.
What
kind of... Chris is jealous of the large portions.
Yeah, because that's my perception of it, is that everything in America is big, and I'd have so much fun if I went. I really want to do one of those drives, you know, across...
You're talking about a holiday. I'm talking about living there.
Yeah, living there.
Oh, jealous... Well,
yeah, what are you jealous of? Like, okay, when you are... in England, and you think, ooh, what would my life in America be like? What do you wish you had?
All right, when I go to LA, I get jealous of you.
Thank you.
Your house. The weather.
The weather.
Oh, the weather. The beach. The, you're near the beaches. Amazing beaches. The service is great. The food is great.
Yeah.
The atmosphere. The people are actually... I know
sexy.
Everyone's... Yeah, people are like, oh, no, LA's full of idiots. And I've never felt that, but I've never lived there. I think
no,
if
they
you
are.
Could,
they're,
you
yeah,
could,
they are idiots. But,
yeah, but you could surround yourself by
yeah,
the
but
right
there's also
people.
Good people.
Also.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of idiots.
I feel like our property is the Isle of Man in Beverly Hills. It's like there's an enclave that is so British it's beyond belief.
But I found that.
I'm usually the only person with an American accent.
I found that when I came to visit
America.
You, literally everyone was British.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we didn't talk about anything food related, but we had a fucking phenomenal time talking with
we
you. Really guys.
We talked about Chris's food, and when
we talked about Chris's food, and that's going to stop. I want to know when Chris gets fat. We
Chris,
have to have another
Chris
one of
doesn't
these.
Know we'll bring him over. Yeah. I'm genuinely concerned for
you. When
you
guys come out,
that
to
you
LA.
Have no, you have zero knowledge about what's going to happen to you and what you should do to take evasive action. You should start now because this is it. You're a huge oil tanker on the way to port. You need to put your brakes on
because you're
going to 15 miles before you get to the
port.
Gonna,
you're going to run
and
around.
You. Are 8 miles out.
Yeah, buddy. So 8 miles out. Wow. So wow, you just laid the law down on that one. 8 miles out is harsh, man.
But once a year, I'm going to send you a picture of me on some scales, and we'll all just,
we'll just watch at the same
time.
But I just want to put food in front of you and see what you gravitate towards, and then just keep watching you eat. We'll sit there chewing sugar-free gum and just waiting for something to happen, like fish in an aquarium.
Apart from trying to make me massively paranoid, though, can I just say thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
This was so much fun.
People at home don't know. You guys are incredibly, incredibly busy, and we're very, very grateful that you've taken the time to come and do this for her.
Cool.
You just point to me in the corner.
Yeah.
For her.
Because well, I don't owe you one. No. Is what I'm trying to say. It's like it's her that
it's
knows
her.
You want.
Postcards from the Edge. And there is nothing I am looking forward to more than watching Chris's metabolism come crashing down. Enjoy that sushi rice while you can, buddy. Massive thank you to radio stars Scott and Chris for giving us their time. That was so much fun. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please subscribe. I mean, it's actually begging. Rate us, review us, all the 5 stars, all the bells and whistles, please, wherever you find your podcasts. Seriously, desperate, desperate for a good review. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Postcards from the Edge is a Blueprint Pods production. Executive producer, Sophie Palak. And producer Warren Borg. Postcards from the Edge.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.